The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, just as we all expected in Will Levis's first start, 4 touchdown passes. What'd you make of his performance on Sunday? And how much do you think that game and that performance could influence what the Titans do before the trade deadline?
Well, I think that, well, first off, in terms of the performance, look, I mean, I was surprised by it. It's a very short list of people to throw 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in the first start. So I was surprised. It obviously was a really good performance. It kind of, I think, cleared things up in terms of, you know, what probably should happen this coming week, which looks like it is. And then, you know, in terms of how it affects the trade deadline, like I still think, like, whatever your plan was, you know, we talked a week ago after the Kevin Byard trade, I feel like that's gotta stay the plan, because if anything, I mean, it makes you feel like, look, maybe we have something with a quarterback who'll be on a rookie contract. And if that's the case, then, you know, you would want as much ammunition as you possibly could over the next 3 years.
And Mike Vrabel talked with the media yesterday, and he said, you know, we would consider, if Ryan Tannehill gets healthy, you know, bringing him back, making him the starter, and of course couch that by saying these are all hypotheticals. After that performance on Sunday, do you think the Titans could go back to Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. I mean, we have to remember, too, look, there's just 1 week from Will Levis. You know, you have another week, and it's not the same type of performance. There won't be that same energy in terms of excitement for him. Do I think they can go back to him? I think they can, but let's just say Levis doesn't do what he did this last weekend, but he, you know, throws 2 touchdowns and doesn't have a turnover. Like, I think it'll be harder and harder to continue to go back to him, especially when you look at just the contract situation for Ryan Tannehill in the 2024 season. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I would also just say this is, like, you've seen, you know, between, you know, just with everything going on in terms of the trade deadline and certainly some activity today, like, I don't believe that is a possibility. And I've seen people saying that, but I can't find the partner where that would make sense.
Now, Tim, we talked with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, explain to us what you saw from Levis, because, listen, we saw the touchdown passes and, you know, the poise and whatnot, but is there something else that you saw in Will Levis that gives you a sense of, okay, I believe this kid can do some things in his league. He can be the Titans quarterback moving forward?
I think there were 2 things that I thought were probably the most encouraging, okay? And so if you just take, like, you just take the 2 long touchdown passes, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the first one, like, there's a level of trust with that I think that some guys, like, it takes – some guys never really get there. Some guys, it takes a little while to get there. Listen, maybe part of it is being a little bit naive. So, like, on stuff like that, where it's like, look, I got to trust. Like, I'm going to throw it here, trusting that the receiver is going to end up getting on top, trusting that the receiver will fight for the football. Like, that's an important element to this, because it's not always going to look perfectly before you let the ball out of your hands. You know, similar to the long touchdown pass where, you know, it's clearly a shot. They're moving the pocket to the right. But that's an intentional, like, hey, look, we're doing this to buy a little bit extra time to really launch the football down the field. That stuff's good. But I would also say this. There was a play, I forget if it was third or fourth quarter, where he gets a high snap, and it's a design run play. And he gets, and a lot of times young quarterbacks will do this. You get a high snap, and, you know, the back is not looking at the football or where the snap goes. And, you know, he's just taking his steps, and he's expecting the football to be a certain place. And so a lot of times a young quarterback will kind of take that high snap, and then, like, he'll try to get the back of the ball, and he'll kind of put it on his hip, and then there's a fumbled exchange. Well, he gets this high snap, and, like, he doesn't flinch. He immediately, like, all right, that's the hole where the back was going. I'm just going to get what I can, and we're gonna play another down. I thought that was as good of a play out of a young quarterback that you could have in that environment, because I think what it alerts you to is just an awareness of, like, hey, I'm not going to make a bad play, but not in a sense where you're paralyzed and don't know what to do. So I don't know if I'm articulating that correctly.
No, I understand that, yeah.
Remember the play, but, like, he's got the back to his left, snap is super high, he's going to be late on the handoff most likely. Now, he might get the handoff, but he doesn't even mess with it. He's like, nope, you know what, high snap, I'm not fooling with it. I think he picks up a yard or two. Like, that, to me, that's good winning football if other aspects of your team are playing well.
Now, moving forward with Will Levis in this game this week versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, how do you think they approach it? Because I know, you know, fans look at it from the standpoint of, okay, he does well, and everybody's still holding their breath. Then if he goes out and on such a short week against a much better defense from the standpoint of they can really truly get to the quarterback, and say he doesn't play as well, say he doesn't have four touchdowns. I don't expect him to have four touchdowns. I expect him to throw an interception, honestly. But if he does throw an interception, how should the organization or how should the coaching staff look at that? Should they say, well, it's a short week, you know, it was bound to happen, let's regroup and see what he does with another full week of practice and preparation?
Yeah, I don't think that anybody should totally freak out because he threw four touchdowns, just like I don't think that anyone should if a guy turns the ball over. The reality is, with guys that are not high first-round draft picks that everybody's signing off on right away, is everybody is, like, a little hesitant to believe it. Look, it happened with Kirk Cousins. It happened with Dak Prescott. Those guys are starters. Those guys are really good. They deserve to be starters. They've been rewarded with huge contracts. But there was a hesitation the entire time with it. Look, Brock Purdy's going through it right now. Brock Purdy, like, came in and it was basically, like, no mistakes for whatever, 10 games. You know, now all of a sudden he's turned the football over a few times and everyone's like, yeah, I don't know. See, we told you he's just a guy. And I think that, you know, that's a bit of an overreaction also. So I just, like, what do I think? Like, I think that there has to be a leash to, all right, let's say he turns the football over. Like, let's look at it and see, is that something we feel like would happen, you know, more? Like, why did it happen? You know, can we trust him in big moments? I don't think there should be a big swing overreaction either way. Should you be encouraged by four touchdowns and no picks and some of the good stuff you saw? Absolutely. And so because of that, should he have a longer leash, you know, in terms of some poor decisions that he makes? Yeah, like he's earned it, you know, through one game now. So I would say this, D. Mace, I think one of the big things that how I would evaluate him on how this next week goes is, you mentioned the pass rush. Well, I think one of the major things I would say going into this is, look, here's the deal. we cannot allow T.J. Watt to take the game over. So we, this game, are going to have to play with kind of a clock in our head that might be a little bit different. And we've got to understand the issues that we're going to have blocking him. And, all right, so how does he handle that? Like, does he play in a way that he grasps that you might have to play differently depending on the opponent each week? Like, and if that happens, then I'd be encouraged about it, even if he does have an interception or a fumble.
I was actually blown away by the offensive line, by the Titans. I just looked at the numbers. The Falcons have a pretty good defense, a really good defense statistically. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the offensive line's best game of the year. So that really helped Levis succeed, didn't it?
Oh, there's no question. Listen, and that happens every single week. You know, and we talk so much about quarterbacks and receivers, and there are times that quarterbacks can play really well and they can be the eraser for a left guard whiffing. And next thing you know, instead of a sack, it's a completion with a run and catch after it. So, but like by and large, when you look at these situations, a lot of times, look, it happened with Herbert the other night. Like, he was protected so well. Like, look at Justin Herbert's night the other night, and then look and see if there's anyone anywhere near him. Like, so that is still, you know, the biggest key, I think, to good quarterback play. And so, yeah, if you're a young quarterback and you have a clean pocket and you're not constantly dealing with people in your face or static in the pocket, you're going to play better. And I think there's an element of that as well.
Where do you see the Steelers right now? I've watched a couple of their games where I thought they were very fortunate to win, but it's so crazy how bleak it looked a couple weeks ago for the Titans. But if they could find a way to win this game, you know, they'd have the same record as the Steelers and a tiebreaker mm-hmm. over them.
Yeah, the Steelers are interesting. You think about what they, you know, recently or have been going through with their offensive coordinator. I mean, it's been brutal. Like, I mean, you watch games on Saturday and, you know, fire Matt Canada chants, you know, come up and you're like, we're not even talking pro football right now. Like how is this happening? I mean, the scrutiny on their play calling has been brutal. Now, obviously, Pickett gets hurt in the game. And so now you're going back to Trubisky. I think we probably all know kind of who and what Mitch Trubisky is. And I would classify him as one of the better backups in the league. He's super athletic, and so he's going to be somewhat tricky to defend because of his ability as a runner. And Tomlin clearly manages the game extremely well, and, you know, will do a good job of not letting things get lopsided. And then they'll play really good defense. So I think if you're going to beat the Steelers in this environment, like, you can't make it easy on them by turning the football over. Like that, and you can play a young quarterback who's going to see some looks he hadn't seen before. He's going to see some pass rushers that he, you know, hasn't dealt with before. And, you know, I think that probably ends up being the story of the game.
What, one more for me, Tim, before I pass it back to my colleagues there. I was curious your interpretation of the Adam Schefter report, where he basically said that the deadline for Derrick Henry to restructure his contract, which I guess presumably would make it easier for him to be traded, expired. And so what I couldn't read into that was he saying that there was a discussion between two parties and say, Derek, would you restructure your contract so we could make it easier? Or do you think that was just a deadline that passed and they intentionally just let it pass? There was no discussion. I think it's pretty important because I wonder if there was talks just kind of feeling out Derrick Henry about how he felt about being traded. Now it looks like it's very unlikely.
Yeah, and you know, I would agree with you. I can't say that I fully understood the context of that either, but I think because of that tweet, it certainly would, you know, I don't know what the media availability is for, you know, the people that would be appropriate to ask that question to, but I think that it definitely, at least for me, got my attention from a standpoint of, you know, was there a certain time to do it? I definitely took it more as, you know, the idea that he might be traded was out there. In order to make that happen, there would probably have to be some tweaking of the contract. And if you wanted to do that, like in order for us to have the time to figure out if we could make this work, like it would have to be now. Like I kind of took it that way. I don't know if that's accurate or not, because listen, typically speaking, where there's smoke, there's fire on these things. And his name was out there quite a bit. And, you know, then it was out there that, no, we're not doing anything with him. And, you know, then you start to wonder, well, was it him? Like, was he interested in saying, yeah, look, maybe I would take a little bit of a haircut in order to be available to go play for the Buffalo Bills or someone like that. And, you know, and so I took it as there were at least two parties, Titans and Derrick Henry's camp, having a conversation about the idea of him potentially being moved. That's how I took it. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's certainly how it felt.
Now, Tim, what do you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because there's, you know, before they got a good win against Pittsburgh, it seemed like they can play the type of game they need to play. If they need to play a muddy game, a dirty, muck it up game, it seems like they have the guys on offense that can do it. If they need to play a game where they need to spread it out and pass it, it seems like they can do that as well. What do you think about this Jacksonville Jaguars team after, what, 7 or 8 games? Because there are still some that are, you know, they're waiting for the old Jags to show up.
Yeah, I don't think they're the old Jags. I would say that. I think they're a really good team. I think they're better on offense than defense, but I do think they have some difference makers on defense. I think they have elements that the things they do well, where they can rush the passer well. I think they're good enough on that side of the ball for sure. And then, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, them offensively, I think that Travis Etienne is one of the better backs in the league. I think he's that fast, that physical, that versatile. I think he's that good. And so, you know, you then pair him with, you know, Calvin Ridley, who's a very good player, and the quarterback, who's a good player, and Evan Ingram, who's, you know, a unique guy to defend. And then I think they're well coached. So, I mean, I just, you know, you kind of go through all of it, and it's like, look, they're a good football team. Now, they're kind of the team who I think that when you look at, you know, do you find a way to win a couple of these games, and now your record looks, you know, significantly different than a team that you maybe are somewhat similar to. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a little bit of who they are. So, like, for example, they're 6-2. The Kansas City Chiefs are 6-2. Look, I think the Chiefs are a better football team. You know, the Ravens, you know, are probably a better football team. You know, the Bills are probably as good, and they're not, you know, they're not 6-2. The Dolphins are 6-2, and I think they're probably a better football team. So, you know, they feel like a team that's like won a few of those games that could have gone either way, and because of it, you know, now they're right there with Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City, you know, those football teams.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. You touched on it earlier, Tim, but I wanted to get a little bit more into it, of Ryan Tannehill and a potential trade or his trade value, because I don't really know what the trade value is for an injured quarterback on an expiring contract. But I look at teams like, you know, the Vikings that could potentially be desperate. Do you think there is a market out there for Ryan Tannehill? And if you're the Titans, would you want to, or what would you need to get in return to trade away maybe what you would view as your insurance policy at the quarterback position?
Well, I think if you're the Titans, honestly, you're probably fine with taking almost anything, you know, from a standpoint of, look, he's injured. Just looking at the number here, I mean, basically there's an out. You know, the dead cap on him next year is $9.2 million. Like, this is the out. Like, he's – I mean, it's just – I don't – at this point, I can't really see a scenario where, you know, he ends up being back because of injury, age, salary, investment at the quarterback position through the draft, all of that stuff. And so, you know, the trade partner, I would say that obviously his injury situation hurts quite a bit because, you know, he's had a, you know, he's had an ankle injury in the past. It's been significant. And so to really know where he is, I think there'd have to be a lot of communication and trust, you know, on that. And I just would say this, like, I look at, like, for example, the Vikings, you know, their season could be ruined because of what happened to Cousins. And like, so would, and they're in a unique situation with Cousins. So like, you know, where would they be on it? I'll give you another example. The Jets. The Jets obviously have a lot of money wrapped up into Aaron Rodgers. Seeing him warm up last week makes me feel like, you know what? Like, he could be back, but they need to still be in it for him to be back. And so if they got just a little bit better quarterback play, they might still be able to be in it. But what does that look like for them? Are they assuming half of a year of salaries, you know, on a $36 million cap hit? Like, I just don't – that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know where the trade partner is. It's got to be a need and a want, and then also a healthy player to help that team get to the point that they're trying to get to.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, always appreciate our weekly visits with you. Thanks for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. All right, coming up next, let's get into a little bit of trade or not to trade. We'll step into the GM's shoes or Vrabel's shoes or whoever the heck makes decisions around here. What we would need in order to trade some players that could potentially be on the trading block. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 9 of college football and week 8 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So Mike Vrabel will speak with the media in 30 minutes. Weird week this week. Press conference schedule is a little bit off given the Thursday night games. We'll have a Steelers preview from Mike Vrabel coming up in 30 minutes. We will carry that live and in its entirety. But it is also NFL trade deadline day. We are 2.5 hours away, I think, if my math serves me correctly. 3 o'clock is the trade deadline. So 2.5 hours until the trade deadline wraps up. I'm sure Rand Carthon is picking up the phone. I'm sure general managers across the league are working the phone, seeing when they could get, seeing who they could pick up. So let's play our own little game of general manager, of trade or not to trade. I have a list of players who I believe are on the trading block in some form or fashion. So let's kick it off. Who would like to be our first general manager of the day?
I'll do it.
Okay.
I serve as GM for the minute.
I will start with one player who we just chatted with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck about. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill. Would you trade Tannehill, one, and two, what would you need to get in return and why?
Would I trade Ryan Tannehill? Absolutely. He's on an expiring contract. You don't plan on signing him back next year. Because even if you don't believe Malik Willis is your backup, you can go get a guy much cheaper to be your backup to Will Levis. So if I'm making that trade, if I'm deciding on whether I'm trading Ryan Tannehill or not, I'm trading him. Because at this point, Levis is your guy moving forward. I can't see, as much as, you know, Vrabel wants to be coy with, you know, the decision, if, you know, he's healthy, we're bringing him back. He can't say definitively he will, because there may be a situation where a team wants Ryan Tannehill, and if they give you enough, then you have to go along with the trade. So then he would have to walk back his word. So I think, you know, Will is the quarterback moving forward, regardless of what happens when it comes to wins and losses, unless there's an injury. But two, you know, he's on an expiring contract. And if a team is willing to offer what I deem to be, you know, a sufficient trade, then I'm doing it, because he's not in your plans whatsoever for next year. So why not try to get something for him? What you get for him, I don't know. You may get a fourth. You may get a fifth. I don't think you're getting anything higher than a fifth for him, because teams know you're going to release him anyway at the end of the year.
GM Willie, Tannehill, and for what?
Yeah, I would say if it's something like Derek just put out there, a fourth or a fifth or anything that could make it like that, I would have to do that without hesitation. And I think even a lower pick I would consider. The one thing that would give me pause is in a scenario where you've caught lightning in a bottle and Will Levis is way better than you thought, and it's too early to know this, which is why the trade deadline should be 3 weeks from now and not now. But you got to live in the reality. Let's say you're putting along there and you're 7-6 and you still have a chance to get in there, and you play Jacksonville the last week of the season, and Jacksonville may not have anything to play for. So you're looking and saying, you know, this could work. Then who would you rather have as your backup, Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis? So, you know, maybe I wouldn't just take a bag of boomer kickoff tees for Ryan Tannehill, but if I could get a draft pick for him, I think I would have to do it based on all of that.
Coy in Clarksville says Ryan Tannehill for some hot Cheetos. I'm not quite there. I'm on board totally for discussing a potential trade for Ryan Tannehill. I think the Vikings are probably the most obvious trade partner. I saw Mike Tannenbaum put out there, you know, Ryan Tannehill to the Falcons for a third. I thought with the way Tyler Heinicke played in the second half, yeah, I don't really think you need to be looking for another starter around the league. Taylor Heinicke might be your answer, at least in the short term, at least for the remainder of this season. So I think I would need at least a fourth for Tannehill for the exact reason that you just laid out, Willie. One, yes, Will Levis looked incredible in game one. I don't know if we can expect that every single week. And if we do see that every week, Will Levis looks great. You get back in it. The playoffs are now a legitimate conversation. The division is a legitimate conversation. Well, what happens, knock on wood, if Will Levis breaks his ankle? Well, if you're in the discussion, if the playoffs are within reach, I would rather have Ryan Tannehill to fall back on than Malik Willis. It's like Ryan Tannehill is your ultimate insurance option for any things that could go wrong. Maybe Will Levis starts to struggle, or Will Levis gets injured, whatever it might be. So I would need a fourth, maybe even a fourth that's a conditional third. But I think we're all in agreement that if there's a deal on the table, we're rolling the dunk for Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. So on to the next one. Willie, I'll let you go first for this one. DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, I think at this point, we discussed it. There looked like instant chemistry between him and Levis. I'm very cognizant of trying to put a young quarterback in a position to succeed. And so there's value in keeping Hopkins for that reason. Now, if somebody offers, I'm going to use the market as the Seahawks trade with the Giants. Different position, but the Giants just traded Leonard Williams for a second rounder and a fourth rounder. If it's something like that, and you're blown away and actually surprised by how much somebody's offering you in a, I'll characterize the Seahawks as enthusiastically going for it right now. I think I would have to do it. But short of that, I'm holding on to DeAndre Hopkins. So I think somebody's going to have to surprise me and overpay for me to trade DeAndre Hopkins at this point. I'm not saying no. If it's a second and a fourth, mm-hmm, I'm doing it.
With that performance the other day, his value has gone up because now you can go back and say, hey, listen, the kid still has it. He still can play. He showed you he still can play. He still can, you know, those 50-50 balls he's coming up with. So whereas possibly last week or the week before, maybe teams were, I give you a sixth for him, a fifth. Now, because of, you know, his play this past Sunday, I think you – no less than a fourth-round pick, I think. If you can get a fourth-round pick for him, then that then you need to start talking to everybody in the building that has, you know, the ability to, you know, veto or say yay or nay to a trade, and there's only a few people in that building. But – I'm not rushing to trade. I'm not calling anyone. I'm not offering up. Even if we're on the telephone, I'm not saying, hey, you know, we got D-Hop for you. No, I'm not, because it seems like, you know, with this past week, Will Levis has some trust in D-Hop, because you got to remember, he wasn't throwing to D-Hop for the first 4 weeks, even in practice. He wasn't throwing to D-Hop for the first 4 or 5 weeks. It wasn't until this week that he got an opportunity to get extensive time throwing the football to D-Hop, and it paid off in the game. So I don't think, you know, as an organization, you want to take that away from your young quarterback when you know Treylon Burks is not showing up. Chigga Conquo is not showing up the way you want him to. Yes, you got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore, but they're not D-Hop. So unless you get something that blows you away, you keep them.
I probably would have been okay with a fourth, you know, around when Kevin Byard was traded. Price just went up for DeAndre Hopkins because the way Will Levis looked in the day DeAndre Hopkins had on Sunday, and it looks like it's Will Levis's job moving forward, I want my rookie quarterback to have DeAndre Hopkins. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, love ya. You're not D-Hop. Treylon Burks, need you to be consistent, but you're not. I can't count on you to be the security blanket for my rookie quarterback. I need a second for D-Hop. And maybe that not, might not even be
you're
enough.
Nobody's touching you with a second.
My asking price is high for DeAndre Hopkins.
People hang up the phone
have
on
DeAndre Hopkins. You do have DeAndre Hopkins next year. I think that is – you have him on a contract. So that is different than somebody who you think very likely is not going to be on our team next year.
Here's an interesting one. Christian Fulton.
Who are you going to put in there if you trade him?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I would love to take what I could get for Christian Fulton, but you just traded away Kevin Byard. Roger McCreary was hurt on Sunday. So, I don't know. I mean, I also don't really know what the going rate would be for Christian Fulton, because you do need bodies.
Yeah, you need bodies. But Christian Fulton, I don't think you're going to – I don't think you're going to get much of anything for Christian Fulton. Your team, you know, Heinicke still came in and threw 178 yards. Yes, you shut down Desmond Ridder, but not because I think your defense. It's because Desmond Ridder's horrible. So as good as the offense looked and as good as the defensive line looked at times, that secondary still has their troubles. And I think if you move away from Christian Fulton, then who are you going to put out there? It's going to compound an already bad or not good secondary.
And what could you get for him?
Yeah,
six?
It's not.
Is that worth it?
Nah, because I don't think they're going to sign him back or tender him next season. They're definitely not going to franchise him. You know, that's not going to happen. So, you know, he's just a guy that's playing out the rest of the season for another team right now. That's what he's doing. Auditioning for another team, because if he's back here, something's wrong.
So here's a central question with Fulton, because I don't think there's a great chance he's back next year. But as we know, corners are not easy to find. There's a lot of talk of Adoree Jackson being traded today. We had a big pass interference against the Jets that lost the game for the Giants last week. But the Giants are total rebuild, right? So here's the central question that we haven't really hit today. The Titans are one game out of the wild card, which is crazy to think about. So just the one win against the Falcons has you wondering what the discussion is internally, because I think we feel like the Bengals are figuring it out. They're going to be in there somewhere, but there's probably going to be a wild card, maybe two wild card spots that are pretty much up for grabs, right? There's about eight teams that are either 4-3 or 3-4, and some of them you look at, like the Steelers and the Browns, and you're like, are they that good? So holding on to Fulton just for this year might outweigh getting a seventh-round pick, which is about all I think you could get.
A little bit of news coming up for Ian Rappaport, and it's not Titans-related, so Everybody take a deep breath. Vikings are trading for Josh Dobbs.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yep.
Tannehill's not going there.
Not going to Minnesota. And I thought that was probably the most likely landing spot. Atlanta, I still think, probably is on the table.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith, Ryan Tannehill, they view that they can win that division and potentially make a run. And, you know, your best shot at doing that is probably with Ryan Tannehill over Desmond Ritter.
Yeah, man, because
my goodness,
even
he was horrendous.
Yeah, you're sort of stuck in this bad place if you're Atlanta because it's so close to the trade deadline. And Heinicke did play well, but do you trust him enough to play well for the remainder of the season, you know, in order to put you in a position to make the playoffs? Because it's a winnable division. And, you know, New Orleans, I think, end up winning. So you still fight with New Orleans for that division. So do you make the move for Ryan Tannehill for an insurance? Or do you say, we're just going to ride with Tyler Heinicke and, you know, if he gets hurt or something happens, then we're not making the playoff regardless. So you go with Ritter, who's horrible.
This team needs Tannehill insurance, I think, more than what the Falcons could give up for Ryan Tannehill.
You know what's interesting, though, guys, is I
don't see what the compensation is, but I'm guessing it's something, right? But the Cardinals – and this is where you credit Monty Austin for it, right? He has come in there, and he is wheeling and dealing. It's easy when you know your team's not going to make it. They're basically tanking. But they took a guy that they signed off the street 10 days before the season started. He plays well enough, and they get an asset for him. That's a pretty good win for the Cardinals.
Pretty good win for Josh Dobbs as
yes.
well. They bring him in off the street. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, right. He's shown now in two situations, last year with the Titans, and this year with the Cardinals, that he can come in and learn an offense pretty quick and give you something to stabilize and at least give you a shot. Really intriguing. I hope he does well for them.
We've been ignoring your phones for way too long, so let's get into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. May, say tomorrow and Friday, Robbie and Rex Road and the Chase and Big Joe shows will be live for the grand opening of two new Dunkin' locations in Old Hickory. This Wednesday's Dunkin' location will be 511 Hadley Village Boulevard, and Friday's location will be at 14835 Lebanon Road. 102.5 The Game will be on site from 6 to 11 a.m. and have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville concert. Plus, there will be tons of giveaways. We are just over 2 hours away from the NFL trade deadline. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel in 10 minutes. So let's get into some of your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter, Texan, Dylan Texan, says, Devontae Adams to the Titans. Mayo missile. That's a new one. I don't think I've heard Mayo missile yet. Mayo missile throwing to Hopkins and Devontae Adams. The Titans are not trading for Devontae Adams.
And because the Titans, stop it, people. That's not happening. I'm going to leave it to you, Willie, to discuss why it's not going to happen. Yeah. But
no,
people, stop it. It's
no,
not
going
to happen.
It's been reported that the Raiders aren't trading him, so forget that. And let me throw this in there. I made an error before. I was corrected by one of our colleagues. Josh Dobbs was on the Browns, and the Cardinals traded a fifth rounder for him. So I'm really curious what the Cardinals got from the Vikings trading Dobbs. So they didn't get him off the street, which I thought was the case. But Dobbs with the Browns, I'm wondering too, would the Browns rather have Josh Dobbs quarterbacking or the guy that they've been using who hasn't done real well in the absence of Watson? I guess he's kind of kept him afloat. But Dobbs has played pretty well.
Yeah.
Dobbs is a good backup. You know, he's not.
That's why I wondered, did they at least get the fifth back? Like, if they traded him and they got a seventh back, then they kind of come out on the short end a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I'll be intrigued to see. I've been refreshing Ian Rappaport's Twitter for, one, mostly Titans updates, but to see if there's any more news on the Josh Dobbs trade. But Mike Dub texts in and says, is it crazy to think that the Browns could use Tannehill since Watson is questionable for who knows how long and Walker has been poor? They have a chance at the playoffs. I think the only thing there is I don't know what Deshaun Watson's projected time frame is, but I also don't really know Tannehill's projected time frame. I mean, they said, what,
right.
four to six week window? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the Browns are going to get Deshaun Watson, I believe, back at some point this season. The difference with the Vikings is Kirk Cousins is out for the season. So I don't know how much the Browns would be really willing to give up even more capital for another quarterback if they're going to get their starting quarterback back at this at some point this season.
Yeah. Go ahead, Willie. I'm sorry. No, what I was saying is, as far as Cleveland, I can't see Cleveland doing that. It seems like, you know, they're relying a lot on their defense than anything. I think P.J. Walker comes in and he does a good job, you know, and he won a game for – I think he won the first game. They end up losing last week in a close game. He did throw two interceptions. I think Cleveland is okay. With their two quarterbacks. They got the rookie from UCLA.
Darrell Thompson Robinson.
Uh-huh. And now they have P.J. Walker. But they are a team that relies heavy on what they do from a defensive standpoint. And they're trying to, you know, work this thing out with their quarterback so they don't have to put too much pressure on the quarterback until Deshaun Watson. And I don't think they're bringing Deshaun Watson back until he's 100% healthy because they still have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
I also don't really know if the Browns are in any sort of position to give any more draft capital or money toward the quarterback position. Sylvia in Clarksville, Texas says trade Willis for Dobbs, which would be a great idea, but I don't think anyone's trading for Malik Willis. I don't think anybody wants Malik Willis.
No. Well, Dobbs is already gone, so...
Yep, you know, he's off the table.
Yeah, he's off the table. So
that's not happening. All right, we will hear from Mike Vrabel coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No